Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello and welcome back to Keeping It Real on Purpose. You know, we talk a lot about authenticity. I got my tongue tied today. And take ownership on this show. We're going to take ownership on this show today because we have a great guest. But what happens when you're doing all the personal work and you still have to walk into a toxic meeting or handle a colleague who's constantly derailing things? How do you keep it real without losing your job or your sanity? Great question, right? That is exactly why I'm thrilled to introduce my guest tonight. She's an author, a coach, and an absolute powerhouse, the emotional intelligence specialist, Amy Jacobson. Amy's entire philosophy, tongue-tied again, is centered on giving people the tools to truly own their shit. Don't think I didn't see that on the website. Take control and be unstoppable. Her work beautifully bridges the gap between what is happening in our brain and how we show up in the workplace, especially when things get messy. Her books, including Emotional Intelligence Advantage, I got that, are mandatory reading for anyone who wants to stop being reactive and start being strategic. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Edna. It's great to be here.
I am excited to have you on. So I was reading your book. I really was. I was like, the title can't be that simple. It can't be that simple. But, you know, I work on my emotional intelligence all the time. It's always inner work. You know, it's not... I'm not verbalizing it all the time, but it's internal. I'm always doing something internal, you know? So I'm working on it all the time. I'm always working on it. Reactive. I like how you break down reactive. That's a great thing. Yeah. But tell us about yourself because I'm already started. I'm on the roll already.
I love that. I love the energy that's coming with it. Yes, I'm based in Australia, as you said. Absolutely fascinated with the mind. So the emotional intelligence side, I think, you know, coming from the corporate world and working in those areas for so long, it just become really evident that a lot of the time it's not, you know, what we're selling, it's not the business we're working in, it's how the people are communicating and how the people are actually working together that determines whether the business is success or not. And it's always, you know, when you look at those workplace environments, we throw together some of the oddest mix of people, you know, people from completely different skill sets, backgrounds, and we just expect them to get along instantly. It's like, you know, we're going to put you in the same area, we're going to have you doing the same thing and just do it and do it well. And when you bring human beings together, it's just not that easy.
It's not.
And I think, you know, workplaces these days are they're changing and in a really positive way, really positive way in that we're encouraging people to have a voice. We're encouraging people to be themselves. We're encouraging people to bring their whole selves to work and speak up. But with that comes a lot of different opinions. With that comes a lot of different ideas as well. So we're seeing emotional intelligence just become more and more important in the workplace while we're asking people to be more authentic. Because when somebody has a different opinion to you or has a different style to you or has a different approach to you, it's going to take your emotional intelligence to be able to work out the best way to work with them and to be able to leverage that rather than to push against it or defend against it.
That's good. That's good. So your philosophy about owning your shit, in the modern workplace where boundaries are critical, how do we differentiate between truly owning our reactions and behaviors versus taking responsibility or accepting blame for things that are clearly not our fault.
Mm-hmm. When I talk about owning your shit, the reason why I love, and this is why I come from this angle, right, is because a lot of the time when we hear emotional intelligence, people seem to think it's, you know, soft and fluffy.
Right.
Rainbows and lollipops. And don't get me wrong, you know, that positive side in emotional intelligence is really important. But first and foremost, it comes down to you understanding what makes you tick and taking that responsibility and that accountability. And I think, in every situation, we play a role. We play a role. And there are absolutely some situations where you know that, you know, you might not be the person that is in the wrong. You know, there may be somebody else who is really not being emotionally intelligent in that situation. Mm-hmm. But we always play a role. And I think getting people to understand that a lot of the times when I work with organizations, we are so quick as human beings to point the finger, to say it's somebody else's fault. And that's a natural human reaction, right? Like we've been brought up, we've been wired to be right. So we don't like to be wrong and we don't like to be the person at fault. So it's a deflect of the mind to say, it's not me, it wasn't me, it's you. And that makes it so much easier because it means we don't have to do anything about
it. Right, we don't have to do a thing, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but in every situation, we play a role. And whether that is choosing how we respond when that person is not being emotionally intelligent, whether that's, you know, choosing the way that we communicate or we respond, it's always going to be a part. And we've got to own that. And I think when we look at these workplaces, a conversation I had literally only a couple of weeks ago with a client who is experiencing burnout, who is experiencing just being overloaded and you know, so much on their plate, and they're understaffed, and you know, you look at the culture is not great. The culture is quite toxic. But the first thing that I said to her, and I know her quite well, but the first thing I said to her when she just burst into tears and said, "Amy, I am so burnt out," is there's only one reason why you're burnt out.
Right.
And that is because you've let it happen.
Right.
You can't be burnt out unless you have let it happen. And yet the circumstances that are around, that doesn't make them right. Like, you're in a poor environment, you're overloaded, you're understaffed. And I said, but at the end of the day, you've chosen not to do anything about that. You've chosen to say yes. You've chosen to let that continue. Come on top.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what I mean by you've got to own your own shit first, because you are not going to change anybody else in this world. Nope. You cannot. You cannot control and you cannot change anybody else. So start with yourself and take the responsibility to really own your shit and own your responsibility in the situation before you start worrying about what other people are or aren't doing.
True that. I'm going to tell you that is very true, because I know that when I did go back to work, the management was toxic, but I had to take accountability for, hey, I know they're toxic, you know, and I'm letting them get to me. And should I stay in this, you know?
That's right.
And my ego was like, I could change them because I'm so positive. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it didn't work. That didn't work. All it did was drain me, and it burnt me out, because I was doubling my energy, you know, to drown their energy out, but they were like that. They vibrate low anyway. So it's like, it doesn't bother them.
Exactly.
So I had to make some big choices and say, hey, I got to take responsibility, because I'm seeing the red flags, and I'm just saying, I'm collecting them, putting them in the back seat, you know, and I'm riding around with them, you know. And you can't do that. Once you see the red flags, you can't collect the red flags. You got to either correct them, but don't collect them, or do something about it that you don't have to deal with it. That's really it.
Exactly right. And I think that's a really common experience that people have, Edna, that, you know, when they know they're in a toxic environment, or they know that their manager or their leader isn't a great leader or a manager. Mm-hmm. You've got to make a choice. And there usually is, you know, those three choices that you've got there. Like, you want to speak up, you want to flag it, you want to influence, you want to, you know, to manage up and do as best as you can to help them, because sometimes those people are not aware of it, that they don't know what they don't know, right? Mm-hmm. But once you've attempted that a couple of times, and it hasn't worked,
I was going to say a couple of times.
You've got to accept it, right? Like, you've got to accept that this is how it is going to be. Yeah. And now I need to either choose to stay and be compliant with that and accept the fact that this is how it's going to be. Nothing is going to change. They are not going to change. And therefore I need to adapt, or I need to walk away.
Right.
And that's a tough call. But, you know, sometimes I have these conversations with people and they're like, yeah, but I shouldn't have to leave. And I said, it doesn't come down to what should or shouldn't happen.
Nope.
This is reality. Reality
is what you're dealing with.
That person's not phased. That person's not going to change. That person's not leaving. So you either get on board and turn up and adapt to that, or you walk away. Are your choices.
That's right. There's nothing else, you know. And I know that I've talked to some people, with some of my clients, because a lot of my clients are, you know, are either transitioning into entrepreneurship, or they're coming from the corporate world and they're transitioning into their own business or whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. Their first words: I hate my job. I hate it. But economically, I got to stay there. I said, do you? You know, I said, do you?
Yeah.
What I said, you if you get sick, you pay more in your sickness than you do pay in your wellness.
And that's right.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
So I understand that. I hear that a lot, as I know you do as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to pivot a little bit to types of workplace changes that you wrote about. When someone is actively trying to provoke you, mm-hmm. and you know, we all been there, someone is deliberately manipulating or emotionally aggressive. How do you leverage emotional intelligence in that moment so it acts as an advantage rather than making you vulnerable or a target?
Yep. So this is tough, right? And I think it's important to understand that the emotional mm-hmm. brain plays a huge role in our body. Mm-hmm. So to say, to think that you're going to get it right every single time first go is not realistic.
Yeah.
There are going to be times that the way in which we are wired, we have something called an emotional hijack, where our emotional brain can take over our logical brain, and it does it quite frequently. So I think the first thing that I always say to people is to know that this isn't something that you're going to be able to master and then forever get right. It just doesn't work like that. But practicing it and understanding and being able to recognize when your emotional brain is stepping in and driving rather than your logical brain. So when you're confronted with somebody who is really pushing your buttons or challenging you, it quite often the part that they're pushing, or those buttons that they're pushing, are in our emotional brain rather than our logical brain.
Right.
So to respond with logic becomes quite hard, because as soon as that emotional brain has been triggered, it therefore comes to the forefront and it is driving. So you are more likely to respond to somebody who has come to you and actually pushed your emotions or triggered your emotions. Mm-hmm. You are more likely to respond with your emotional brain.
Right.
Because that is the one that is at the forefront. So the best thing you can possibly do in these situations is you really want to focus on the fact that the emotional brain is there, but you want to engage your logical brain. Now, there's a few different ways that we can do this. The first thing is pausing and allowing time. So if you kind of picture in your mind, you've got this kind of like this race, I guess, between the emotional brain and the logical brain. And when somebody says something that hits really hard or kind of offends us, or you know it's not right, or it triggers an emotion, mm-hmm. it is going to be your emotional brain that responds first, and then it's going to be followed by your logical brain.
Gotcha.
Now, for everyone, the speed in which your logical brain comes into play is going to be very different, right? So when I say pausing, the whole purpose of pausing is to allow time for your logical brain to catch up and hopefully overtake your emotional brain. Now, depending on how intense your emotions are, if somebody's triggered an emotional response and you're coming at a 9 or 10 out of 10 severity level with that emotion, then it's going to take a fair bit for your logical brain to actually get in control of that and be able to, step forward. So having the ability to be able to just breathe, 3 deep breaths and just think about the situation before you emotionally respond is giving yourself a chance for your logic to kick in. And I was listening to a podcast the other week, and it was Brené Brown's latest podcast with Diary of a CEO, so Stephen Bartlett. And we know that, you know, Brené Brown, when it comes to emotions, she, you know, she's the guru. She knows emotions inside and out, the true meanings of these emotions, right? And when you listen to her speak, or when you listen to any podcast that she's on, you'll notice that she is the master of pausing. To the point that when you, when I was listening to this podcast, I had to check my phone 3 times to see whether it had actually cut out. But it shows that she understands the impact of the emotional brain so much that being able to pause and be comfortable in silence while your mind processes what's happening, while your logical brain kicks in and says, okay, what is happening right here? So when you're in that situation, 3 deep breaths, just allow time for it to kick in. The other tip that I would say is that if you don't get it right, which there is a chance you are not going to get it right, the way you then respond when you don't get it right is one of the greatest measures of emotional intelligence. So having the ability when your emotions jump out and you respond in a way that you're not happy with either, but having the ability to stop and turn around to that person and saying, you know what, that didn't go too well, or I'm not happy with how I responded there. Can I try it again? Or or I'm sorry, or I apologize for that situation. That holds so much more meaning and will gain so much more trust and respect from other human beings, knowing that A, you're not perfect, but B, you are real and authentic, and you're not always going to get it right. But you have the ability to be able to own your shit and know, I didn't get it right. How can I correct that? How can I apologize? How can I now move forward with it?
That's good. Because I was going to ask you about that, you know, some tools. So you just gave them to me right away. So audience, who feel your brain goes nuclear in seconds, this is it. These are the tools. So if even if you have to rewind this, make sure you write the tools down, because I was like, yeah, this, I have been doing that. And I'm patting myself in the back as you say that, because I'm always thinking, you know, because, you know, I'm a Scorpio. I tend to be a little bit fiery. And I've learned to pause and think it through. Even when somebody, you know, what they call subs, they throw subs at you. I've learned to think it through, because, and I call it, my old Edna could say some stuff that would snatch her soul, but why? Why would I expend much energy to you? I know I can't control how you act, but I can control how I act and respond. And that pausing, I've been doing it for the last year, and it's getting better and better. So when you said that, I was like, yes. It's getting better and better. I'm learning to pause no matter what's been said.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I won't even take a phone call if I have to make a decision that hour, that second. It's like, no, give me the information. I'll figure it out later. But no, I won't make a decision right away. Because sometimes you can be doing things in emotions. That's how sales works, you know?
I'm a marketer's dream, because my emotions are like, yes, yes, let's do this.
You'll say yes. I tell people all the time, they'll call me. I was like, did we make an appointment? They get thrown off. They're like, no, but we're calling. I said, I don't make impromptu decisions right away. And I hang up, because I used to do it a lot. You know, stuff be coming in. Do you know how, remember QVC when it was around? I think it's QVC. Okay, I had stuff. I had stuff. But yeah, I've learned, and those are such good tools, audience, such good tools. Now, in an organization that perhaps has a toxic culture, where aggression or emotional suppression is implicitly rewarded, and I've been in one of those places, how come an employee who generally prioritizes high emotional intelligence not just survive, but truly thrive and make competitive advantages?
Yeah. Because emotional intelligence is a skill, right? It is something that we learn. Everyone can learn it. And the great thing about it is that every time you respond in an emotionally intelligent way, it actually influences the other person to do the same. So when you're in this toxic environment, for one, you've got to make sure that that toxicity doesn't become contagious to you as well, because we know emotions are really contagious, right? Yeah. So if you're in an environment for long enough, then you will start to, it's that whole thing of, you know, you are the a combination of the five closest people around you. And sometimes those people aren't great, especially in the workplace. So think about who you're sitting next to. You've got to be really aware to make sure that you are not contagious and you're not picking up those other emotions and those other vibes. But also to know that there's benefit in our emotions being contagious, because you can be contagious to the people around you. And I've seen it happen. When you have a culture like this, and I'll give you an example, because when we talk about culture, culture is not tangible.
No.
Culture is the outcome of a group of people interacting. So when you have a workplace, that culture is the output of those people that are interacting, right? And as soon as you change one of those people, you know what it's like. I'm sure we've all been in a team before where it's had a really great culture, and then one person leaves and a new person comes in, and the culture just changes.
It's something different,
right? The vibe changes. So that shows you how contagious it is. So when you go into a culture that is toxic, you are playing into that culture as well. And to see the difference that I've seen in some of the cultures which are really toxic, simply the difference of people walking in each morning and turning around and saying good morning to everyone. This sounds crazy, right? But there is a lot of workplaces where people walk in, their head is down, they do not talk to anyone around them.
I was in one of those. I couldn't believe it. I was like, that's strange to me.
Me too, right? I'm thinking, what is going on here? But even the difference, because as complex as our brain is, there's some really simplistic side of it in that we create these habits, right? And these expectations, and those habits and expectations create that culture around us. So when you're in a culture like that, if you conform to that culture, you too will walk in and say, okay, this is how it works. I walk in the door, nobody talks to each other. Everybody sits down, just head down, does their work. There's no social chitter. There's no friendships. There's no relationships. You just do your job and you go home.
Right.
And that's where you start to get programmed as well. So your mind says, this is what we do at work. Where if you start actually being yourself and walking in, and I can imagine, Edna, you walking into any workplace and being yourself and saying hello. And, you know, the first couple of times you do it, people might think, oh, Edna's weird.
That's what I got.
Why is she talking to us? Yes, stop talking to us. That's not how it works here.
I was like,
But this is the power in it, right, Edna? And it comes down to our confidence and our ability to understand what makes us tick. Because if you'll notice that, but if you still say to yourself, I am who I am, I am still going to walk in every morning and say hello, then what happens is other people's expectations and habits and what they're expecting start to get wired in their brain as well. Yeah. And it starts to become a more consistent, a stronger connection, in that they know that every day when Edna walks in, they're expecting They will expect you to say, good morning, hello.
And if I don't, what's the matter? What's the matter with you?
Exactly right. So while it feels like when you're in these cultural situations that one person can't do anything, one person can actually create ripples that turn into massive waves. Yeah. Because I'm sure that you found, Edna, after a while of walking in each morning and saying good morning and saying hello, that after a few days, you might get the odd person that starts saying hello back to you. And then after a few weeks, it increases. And then you get to the point where at some point in time, you'll walk into the office in the morning and someone will say hello to you before you even say hello to them.
This is
a very, like, a very simplistic example, right, of how it works. But this is how you create culture. This is how you create standards in a room. And this is how our military creates standards, right? These are the expectations. This is how it works. And when you're in a toxic environment, you play a role as well. You can influence that, and you won't change everyone. You definitely won't change everyone. But you will have an impact. And then after a couple of months of you having that impact, you then need to decide, okay, I've influenced. It's probably not going to change much more than this.
Yeah.
Am I happy?
Yeah.
And if I'm happy with this, to come in and do this every day, then stay. But if your answer is no and you're frustrated or you're starting to catch some of their emotions or you're not happy, then own your shit and make a decision. That's exactly right. It's just sometimes we overthink it.
Yes.
And I think, you know, when you take that example and you turn it into the way that people communicate in meetings, the way that people form relationships, it's all the same. It just starts forming those little habits and those standards and those expectations to say, here is what to expect from me. Here is how I'm going to go about it. Here are my expectations.
Right.
And seeing that culture actually be created.
That's cool. That's good. That's very good. So, Amy, let's talk about your book now, because you've answered all. I had other questions, but you just answered them all. So, audience, I hope you all have a pen and paper. Make sure you write this down. But I just wanted to tell you, I love the book. It took me a minute to read it because I was like, okay, this is getting on my nerves. It's getting on my nerves. It's called my shit a shit. So okay.
And confronting, right?
Yes. So I was like, okay, I gotta breathe through this. And it's like, okay. I own some of that. And it made me categorize a lot of things. It really did. And to see that I did make a difference, you know, because I was always kicking myself. It was a waste of time. But just reading this, I made a difference. Now people probably say hello to each other, you know, because, you made a ripple effect. But the emotional intelligence advantage focuses on complex challenges, right? What's the one unstoppable truth about high stakes workplaces that have conflict for most people that most people and employees experience?
The conflict definitely comes down to the communication. And I think it's around that difficult. Exactly what the clear topic of this book is around difficult conversations and change, and they go hand in hand. And I think this is the most challenging thing that we're hitting in workplaces at the moment, because there is so much change happening, and not just so much change, but the size of the change is huge. And with the size of this change, it's really challenging people's minds, because it is causing alarm bells, because it doesn't align to the wiring in our mind, those habits that we've created, right? Our mind's going, hang on, we do not do it that way. We do it this way, and this is the way we've always done it. So what that then leads to is really difficult conversations, because when our mind has got these alarm bells going off, it goes into that defense mechanism. It goes into that fight or flight response. And when you have people in that fight or flight response, it means that that emotional brain is kicking in. So therefore you have people attempting communication based on an emotionally driven mind with very little logic in play. So when we have these difficult conversations, we tend to get caught up in the winning side of things.
Gotcha.
So how do I win this conversation? How do I feel like I'll walk away being right?
Right, because you're not really listening to listen. You're listening so that you can have an answer. A lot of times.
Right?
Okay.
So it's your ego driving.
Yes, exactly.
It's that part. It's that part when you get into that conversation and you start to put your thoughts and your opinion forward that it is you want them to agree with you.
Gotcha.
You want them to agree with you. You want them to tell you you're right. And that's just, again, not realistic in a lot of situations. So as you're coming into these really difficult conversations that are happening in workplaces, it's having the ability to actually understand what is happening in your mind at the time and why you are feeling that way. And this is the whole thing with, you know, like, as you've said, Edna, the more that we understand what makes us tick, it's not about becoming some blueprint of a perfect human being,
right,
or some, you know, some blueprint of the perfect emotionally intelligent response. There's no such thing. What it comes down to is understanding how am I wired. And this wiring comes from things like our relationship with change.
Right.
It comes to things like, you know, how do we control our different emotions, and how do we actually understand that there's no such thing as a bad emotion, but what there is the appropriateness and the severity level. So it's not about changing who we are. It's about understanding who we are and then working with that. So when we were just saying before that, you know, that you and I are great for marketers because, well, you in the past are great for marketers because we get so caught up on the emotion side and we're like, yes, I'll take 10. That's being emotionally intelligent is not about changing the wiring of who I am and saying, okay, I don't want to be that person anymore. Being emotionally intelligent is about understanding that is how I'm wired. So when I'm in a situation like that, I am more than likely to say, yes, I'll take 10. So therefore I will put things in place like pausing. Therefore I will put things in place like this to be able to approach it in a different way, to work with it rather than against it.
So when
you're in these workplaces and you're in these tough situations that I talk about in the book when it comes to change, we know that there's going to be some people in the workplace that absolutely love change, that that change for the sake of changing, because that is how they're wired. They've been brought up with constant change, and to them, constant change is normal. So when change comes into play, they're like, yes, let's do it. Like, I need change. I want something different.
Right.
But there are going to be other people in the workplace who have grown up in the same town their whole life, have lived in the same house, have done the same things, have had the same friends. And they are people whose wiring is really formed around consistency. And they are great at consistency. They are so good at coming in and doing the same thing day in and day out and doing it really well. They stay in the same job for 10 years and they're experts at it. These people are not going to respond well to change.
No.
And trying to force them to love change is a recipe for disaster.
But
once you understand that that person, you need those people in your workplace, you need those people who love consistency and are happy to do the same thing day in, day out. You also need the people that love change. You need people across the whole change scale. But when these people come together, conflict occurs, right? Because you've got some people that are going, yes, let's do it, let's change. Why are you so upset about this? Like, get on board, get over it. It's not that big a deal. And other people are like, no, that's not how we do it. I'm not ready to change. I don't want to do it that way. Yeah. I don't see it the same way as you. So this is where this conflict happened, and this is where the difficult conversations start to kick in, and this is where it becomes so important to have the ability to hold back your ego and just listen to what people are saying and focus on the outcome that you're looking. All you need is to work together towards the right outcome. You don't need them to agree with you. You don't need them to be the same as you. You don't need them to be a clone of you. It is only different. okay to be different. Yes. But how do you work together rather than against each other?
Wow, Amy, this has been such an eye-opening conversation. That's really good. You closed it right. I love it. I know everyone is listening is going to feel really equipped to tackle the next difficult conversation as much as I am, because I'm really confident just having this conversation with you and getting this clarity. Where can my audience reach you and get a hold to you and get your book?
Yeah, so the best place to find me is at my website, which is amyjacobson.com.au. You can find my book in any bookstore worldwide. Awesome. So online, bricks and mortar, any bookstore. Yeah. And you can find me on social media as well. So LinkedIn is my most active platform, LinkedIn and Instagram. So as you can probably tell, I love a chat. So please reach out. Love a chat. Always like to know what's going on. I love meeting people.
Absolutely
reach out.
So audience, you really need to check out Amy's book, because when I read it, it checked me out too. I truly thank you for being here, Amy. You didn't have to be, but you're here to explore coaching or speaking or anything like that, but you were here. So I thank you for that. Again, if you want to reach out to her, her name is her website with UK at the end, right?
No,
AU. See, just here I go. Yeah. I got to mess you up. It'll be under this video or in the contents. Okay, how about that? So Edna doesn't mess it up. So if this really touched you, like, subscribe and share this episode, because I know there's some leaders out there. I know just plain people just want to be able to lead better and live better in emotional intelligence. This is Edna White and my esteemed guest, Amy Jacobson, saying goodbye for now.
See you later.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.